It falls for D'Agostini! Sankey tees it up and scores!
Woo!
Zach Sankey! Gavor Djarvian for Nacho Larrange! It's Nacho! But he's got Larrange. It's Yaniv Bazzini! An exclamation point! The man who will not stop scoring! Jones heads it down, and it's pounded in! The captain, Jake Ashford! The Green League!
This is United in Green. How are you guys doing today? We got Danny Versace from our famous Talking Tactics with Coach Dan. We have Tyson, our returning champion. And today we have a very special guest, but before we get to them, Danny, how you doing?
Doing pretty well, Mike. Had a good work week, and looking forward to chatting about Vermont Green and where we see him going.
It's always great to have the best work week. We've had a lot of tough stuff going on in this world, and to get through the week relatively easily with work, man, it's the best thing in the world.
Well, now that I've said it, tomorrow's going to suck, right? That's how it goes.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's what you get. Tyson, what's going on, man? I kind of prepped you before we hit the record button and went live. But how you doing, man?
I mean, like Dan said, it's the work week's almost over. We just got, most of us just have one more day. If there's any poor folks listening who work on the weekends like I used to for exactly. I did that for about a decade or so. Sorry to you, but for the rest of us, the weekend's almost here.
I only have to take call once every fourth week, so I'm good, man. I'm good. I just got over the flu, boys. Like the actual fucking flu. I've never had it. Sorry, I'm swearing a lot tonight. I've never actually had it. The actual flu, but like my son and I were both diagnosed with influenza A. It was not a pleasant experience. Apparently influenza A is the one you can give and get from your pets, which is wonderful. We don't have any pets. We have fish. I don't think they can get the flu, but who knows? It was a forgettable experience, man. I don't need to have that in the back of my mind ever again, or in the forefront of my life. As you can tell, I'm still a little bit wheezy in my chest and throat, but. Let's get on to our special guest. Tonight we have Sam Minton. He has been working in and around New England sports since 2016. He's covered the Bruins, Patriots, New England Revolution, any others? Hartford Whalers? No, it doesn't go back that far.
Oh, my colleague, Jake Cadenese, is going to be in shambles that you mentioned the Hartford Whalers. Pretty much all Boston sports, the Revs, and most importantly, Vermont Green, baby.
Yeah, and it covers our Vermont Green, which is why we have Mon today. We're gonna have a little discussion about the upcoming U.S. Open Cup match, and maybe where Sam sees this club going this year. So let's get right down to it, Tyson. Since you're the returning champion, and this is, I think we decided this is episode 3, even though there are 4. This is the 4th on YouTube, but well, that's because Dan's podcast is mixed in there, and
I get my own special little segment,
his little corner of the Vermont Green, United in Green world. So Tyson, since you're the returning champion, I'm gonna let you go ahead and get us started.
Well, I mean, Sam, I think that the really obvious question is, what is a site like the Blazing Musket, which very much covers the local pro soccer that we have in New England with the Revs, what really drew you up to Vermont to either, I don't know if you ever came up to a game with the intention of first starting to actually write about it consistently on an actual professional basis, or did you or someone else with the Blazing Musket come up and, you know, come up for recreational purposes and then said, hey, we've got to cover this?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely sort of a long story, but I think the credit all goes to our photographer, Dolan. When it comes to kind of graphic design, logos, all that, he pretty much worships Matthew Wolf, and he's probably going to be so embarrassed that I said that. But yeah, so he, when all the news came out that, you know, there was going to be this club and that Matt Wolf was going to be an owner, it immediately piqued his interest. And so we definitely wanted to cover them. We were originally, you know, we were on SB Nation, and that was very primarily New England Revolution heavy. When Revs 2 came about, Revs 2 heavy, covered the national team, stuff like that. But once we saw, you know, Vermont Green starting to arise, Dolan was very interested. He wanted to shoot a game. And so I was like, yeah, you know, I'll definitely go up and, you know, cover a game, just kind of do like almost like a game day experience one. So like I was covering the game, but also just overall looking through the experience. And, you know, that was an absolute blast. And getting to meet Patrick, Matt, you know, all the owners, getting to meet Spencer, absolutely amazing. And so it just kind of started from there. And then obviously last year, SB Nation pulled their funding for MLS blogs. And when I say funding, I mean $200 a month. So funding. But yeah, so basically we have to embark on a new endeavor. So we went over to Substack. And that just kind of gave us an opportunity to kind of reset, reevaluate, instead of just being the New England Revolution blog, which again, it still is our focus. We kind of wanted to expand to all, you know, New England soccer. So we continue to, you know, cover Vermont Green. You know, I made multiple trips last year. We expanded the Hartford Athletic. You know, we're now covering Rhode Island FC. Hopefully the NWSL Boston thing goes smoothly. We get to cover them. But just really that initial moment, you know, seeing the crowd, I'll never forget, you know, listening to the PA announcer, Tom, whose full name is eluding me, but like that was so unique. His intros and obviously the quality, it was absolutely amazing watching O'Malley that first year, and especially, you know, in the second year, Javork, and just all the Nacho and all the talent there just really stood out. And just the atmosphere is so unique. And, you know, there's so many times where we'll get asked, like, why are you covering Vermont Green? A lot of angry Western Mass fans asking why we aren't covering them, but covering Vermont Green. And we always say there's an audience for it, and that, you know, people enjoy reading about them. And also, too, the comms team there has been very good to us, so I'm not going to complain. Great with access and all that. So that's really just how it got started. And I mean, I personally now really love Vermont. My sister goes to UVM. I will be driving her back to school on Tuesday when we have the U.S. Open Cup match, and I will be dragging her to that U.S. Open Cup match. And I'm absolutely pumped, you know, especially, you know, we were kind of talking about it earlier with the Revs not being in it. It's going to be really interesting to be able to follow, you know, lower level teams in the cup and see how far they can go. But that's just kind of the origin story of how we began covering the green.
Danny, go ahead. Sorry, man. I was going to.
No, I was just going to say, you know, as someone who grew up, you know, worshiping the Revs, right? I had season tickets for a number of years back in the early 2000s. It kind of, I don't know if I took it too personally or not, but it kind of hit hard when they bowed out, right, due to scheduling conflicts. Yeah, big air quotes there. And I was just thinking, so as someone who covers that team really in depth, what do you think is sort of the real reason that some of these teams are declining to participate or pulling out or sending their second team or their MLS next team? So what are your thoughts there?
Yeah, I think overall it's just kind of well, first off, I would say it's not the teams, it's the
league. Of course.
So because I know just because I was able to sort of break news, but say that like the Revs are, it's not looking like they were going to participate. And kind of the big sticking point was, oh, is it the teams or is it actually the league? And it was a league decision. And it just seems like overall there's a frustration, and with, you know, investments and, you know, what that may be, I think a lot of it comes down to financials, plain and simple. And I think that's pretty terrible, especially for such a historic tournament. I mean, it is the most historic tournament in US soccer. I think all MLS teams should be participating in that. And the fact that they aren't is pretty much just because of money, and you know, schedule congestion is an issue that they mentioned, and it is a very true issue. But I'm currently covering CONCACAF Champions Cup matches, which are great. Obviously, love Continental Champions, you know, tournaments and stuff like that. But we have a Leagues Cup that was pretty much made last year. Seems to be a lot for commercial benefit, not exactly for soccer. There's plenty of Liga MX's and, you know, United States crossover companies don't actually know if this Leagues Cup that almost seems like it was created with the boom of Apple and their coverage of the league was necessarily needed. So yeah, I think mainly it comes down to the financials and, you know, MLS, this big evil corporation, just deciding, hey, we're going to, you know, look to see where we can continue to make money. And I think also too, whenever you talk about this, especially in US soccer, Lionel Messi has to come up. And it's so interesting that the only tournament where MLS cannot capitalize financially on Lionel Messi that Inter Miami will not be participating in. So I wish it could be some, you know, great valued reason like schedule congestion, but I think the majority of it has to come down to financials.
And which it, schedule really congestion is what they claimed. And you know, I mean, and the what and we can just get off this topic in a second here, but what really bothered me is that they claim schedule congestion all the while teams teams like Tyson's West Ham, teams like Arsenal, teams like, you know, even City are playing, you know, two, sometimes three games a week, right? And the league, can you imagine if an Arsenal or Man United said, yeah, FA Cup, we're playing in Europe and we really like to look at this Carabao Cup competition and we're still in the league here. So, you know, let's just bow out. I don't think the Prem would ever do something like that. Even though Carabao Cup isn't really a huge financial boom for a lot of these clubs, it is in a way that, you know, these amateur teams and in these lower league teams get to put their product on display and get to, you know, have their time in the light. And I think that's where a lot of the USL fans and a lot of the fans that, you know, come from some of the other amateur leagues are upset and rightfully so. And like you said, it is a lot about financials and it is a lot about profitability and that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And I think too, you kind of pointed out just, you know, imagine if this happened in England, like there would be absolute chaos.
Yeah, and
exactly. I mean, we already have riots, you know, when it are, you know, protests when it comes to Manchester United, FSG and all that. Now imagine if you had a group of teams deciding not to play. So, you know, I do definitely agree. And I just think that it just really sucks. And I wish it wasn't the case. Luckily, this is only for 2024, having these eight teams participate. Hopefully it doesn't go back. But also, I just remembered what I was actually going to say. Teams were already, you know, playing younger players, playing second team players, you know, in this tournament. And then once it got deeper, you know, really kind of going all out, you know, especially looking at the Revs. Yeah, Bruce Arena didn't really care for the US Open Cup, so he would just trot out a bunch of youngsters. So you already had this. You already could have just had, you know, youth team or, you know, academy or second team players playing. But you essentially just be like, all right, we really want to try and boost and prop up MLS Next Pro, so let's have these second teams play. And that makes a whole different thing of, oh, so what if a second team somehow wins the entire US Open Cup? Are they going to play in, you know, CCC? Because that'd be pretty weird. And, you know, then there's a question, well, if not, we're just going to give it to the first team. Don't know if the first team necessarily deserves that if their second team's going out and winning and not participating. So, yeah. Right. It's a whole mess. Really wish U.S. soccer and MLS could figure it out. But hopefully, you know, 25, 26, they're able to get back into it. But I will say I'm not that confident in that just based on, you know, what I've been hearing in terms of also being like, oh, yeah, hey, you know, there's Copa America and there's the World Cup coming up. So that's only going to add to schedule congestion. Right. So hopefully they're able to come back. But I don't know if it'll come back in 25, 26.
I just feel like the my final grenade that I'll lob is that, you know, they've been bringing up all this schedule congestion constantly, but right after they announced the actual schedules for the US Open Cup, there were like six or seven MLS teams that announced mid-season friendlies with Europe against European teams on the same days that their MLS Next affiliates were playing in the Open Cup. It was like this, the Columbus Crew did that, and I believe Minnesota.
Yeah.
Literally, their first teams are playing friendlies the exact same time that their MLS Next teams are playing in the Cup. So I'm done.
So yeah,
our soapboxes, yeah.
So let's get on to our opponents in this because we're gonna have I didn't know this. I was contacted by one of the founders the other day, who said to me, "Hey, did you know this team that we're playing has their own podcast?" And I was like, "Son of a bitch, let's go find out what's going on here." So I went and I started listening and I immediately was like kind of taken aback about like all the nice things they were saying about our club. And then they started saying things about our cheese. And then they started saying things about incorrect things about our state. And I can't wait to have those guys on. But we're going to be playing Lexington SC out of Kentucky. They are a USL One team. They finished lower third of the table last year. That was their first season, correct? I believe this is their second coming up.
Yeah, I believe they finished ninth.
Yeah, right. Ninth. So by all accounts, they have retooled. They have taken a step back. They have retooled. They have signed a whole bunch of new players, and it's looking like they're going to have a very strong team coming up. The only great thing for our aspirations in this tournament going up against a team like this is that one, these are all new players who don't necessarily know the system yet. And two, they have a game a few days prior. So that will be able to help us a little bit. And maybe they'll come in just thinking that we're going to be a pushover. From what I know about our squad coming up here is that we're not going to shy away from fielding a very competitive squad. There are going to be some faces that we know out there. We've seen some of them already in the news coverage. Some of them already showing up on social media. So if you look deep enough, you can tell which of the players is going to be back for this. And you know, the Green Mountain faithful are going to be out in the crowd, joining in with their club to push their club to victory. So
the interesting thing is, I just did a little bit of digging on them a couple of days ago, just figuring out sort of what their vibe was and what, you know, sort of type of soccer they played. And as we discussed on the other, you know, tactics podcast, you know, USL one, USL two players, you don't get a lot of film on them, right?
Right.
But from what I was able to tell, I mean, they play a style of soccer, at least in their first season, that matches up relatively well in Vermont's favor based on, again, previous year's experience. And the other good thing that I found was that they're used to playing in a big stadium. They play at the Georgetown College in Kentucky, and they averaged about 1,100 fans. And we're more than certainly going to double that, right? So, you know, talking about the Green Mountain faithful, that's a big, big win on our end, I think.
Have you heard anything about them, Sam, or have you done any research on this club at all going into this match? Because I know that you're going to be covering the match.
Yeah, I can give kind of some. There's always some crossover whenever it comes to, you know, Vermont Green FC players, you know, getting drafted in the MLS, or if it comes to players kind of moving on. I try and keep, you know, my eyes open and see what's happening. And so there is one guy who stands out, Nico Campuzano. He was with Revs 2 last year. Very talented goalkeeper. Revolution kind of have a logjam at the position with the second team. You have Max Weinstein, Jacob Jackson. And so it seemed like Campuzano wanted to move on and kind of have a new challenge. So, you know, again, he's one of their new signings. He does have the ability to possibly, you know, earn that starting spot. So I think it will be interesting to see who starts. But really, yeah, you know, I am kind of in the same boat as you. These USL League One teams, it can be really hard to find information on. I remember covering Revs 2 when they were, you know, helping with coverage of Revs 2 when they were originally in USL League One. But I think just kind of looking at Vermont, I think, you know, being able to have Zenge back, being able to have Musa back, you know, very key. And I just think the talent that they've been able to bring in, I think the most recent signing, being able to bring in a USL League One player will be big. And, you know, I'm really interested to see the squad that is able to be put out there. I definitely think it will be a competitive team. It's just all about, you know, the magic of the Open Cup, seeing if that cup set will happen. I know there's always focus on, you know, USL teams beating MLS teams, but seeing a USL 2 team beat a USL 1 team, that would be absolutely amazing. So, you know, definitely, I think the Green are capable of pulling it off. But like you said, there's a lot of new faces. They kind of retooled. So there's going to be that motivation to kind of make a statement.
Yeah, and I was going to say, you know, to Dan's point about them not being used to playing in front of as large a crowd as the Green can potentially pull. I mean, we always love to go and pump ourselves up. We always like to think that we give our players, you know, that bit of an extra edge. I mean, in the division that we play in, no one, probably outside of maybe Western Mass, can pull together a home crowd like the Green can. And I know that Mike always talks to the opposing players as they're going home through the parking lot. And they always talk about how, you know, no one has a home crowd like the Green do in USL2 in our whole division. And I'm sure that we stack up really well against a bunch of USL1 teams as well. You know, we consistently sell out. It's like, it's a thing. It's that home field advantage is a, it's not nothing.
It certainly is. And especially when you're in a, I don't want to say smaller, because Virtue isn't small. But when you compare it to their home field stadium at Georgetown, which I'm looking at now, is, you know, 5,000 capacity. You know, I think that stadium's probably quite a bit bigger, and they're quite a bit further away from the fans, as opposed to the 6 yards and maybe 5 vertical feet that we have when we're standing right on the fence, being told not to do that every 15 minutes. You know, but you know, I don't want to give, you know, the fans or I guess, for a better term, I don't want to give ourselves too much credit, but I do think Tyson has a point. I think we can at least rile our guys up a little bit, if not getting into the heads of the Lexington players.
I was going to say, especially just being so close, I think that is very, very important. And I think it will be interesting to see. Like, I was lucky enough, I think one of the last games we went to, instead of, there was like so much press that they're like, I don't know if we're gonna have room in the press box. So I was just literally on my phone doing stuff for like social media and like getting to see how close you guys are, how loud you guys are. And then also too, just kind of getting to see, you know, how close, you know, the players are and just how they interact. It's a atmosphere like no other. And like, even for me, like just taking videos on my phone, like it was absolutely amazing. So I do think that proximity you guys are to the players will definitely be something they might not be used to.
Let's hope so.
The other thing they're going to have to contend with, and we haven't had a lot of it this year so far, is cold weather.
Yeah.
It looking forward at the forecast, it does look like the only day/night where it's going to dip below 40 degrees in the next few weeks. It looks like it's probably going to be in the high 20s, low 30s. That's going to be a big deal for a club coming from Kentucky, coming from a city in Kentucky where, you know, they're not necessarily mountainous areas. It's not necessarily a cold weather place per se. And I think, you know, I don't want anybody to get the wrong idea, though, about how this game is going to play out, because these are going to be players on the Vermont side who have had probably a week to prepare, who some of them may have played together before, some of them may have not, some of them may know the system, some may not. I feel that the weather, the crowd is going to be an issue for Lex. And I also believe that that the fact that we have a coaching staff and a system that's pretty amenable to any kind of style that any of these players came out of, I think that's going to be a big plus for us. The only thing that they're going to really have on us is that they've had a preseason and they have had time to kind of bed in, and they will have played a couple of games by then.
I will say we've already seen the weather's effect. I mean, last year, UVM versus, was it,
UCLA.
Yeah, that was a huge seed disparity between the two clubs, and
that UCLA team came out and saw the Vermont players and with no sleeves on, and they were
exactly.
What the fuck is happening here? It was like 20 degrees outside.
It was
The last, I think it was versus the Costa Rican side. Everyone was waiting to see if Nick Lima, because he was like, oh, I just don't wear sleeves, to see if he would wear sleeves, because obviously he's been in pretty warm climates. Didn't have the sleeves on, so kudos to him. But yeah, definitely the coldness, you know, the weather can play a factor and kind of get into that mental warfare. If all the guys on the green get on the same page to go no sleeves, might get Kentucky or Lexington off their game.
Yeah, it'll be interesting too to see. I don't know if you know anything about this process, Sam, about the referees being assigned. Because as someone who plays soccer in Burlington, you know, I recognize some of the refs that ref the Vermont Green games from the same guys that are refing my beer league games. And as much as I love those guys, they're great guys. You know, they're probably not at the same level as someone who's going to be refing a U.S. Open Cup game. Is there? Do you know anything about how the referee assignments work, or is there any info you can share there?
Yeah, you know, definitely. It's so weird because, especially like just looking again, Reb's colored eyes, you know, you've seen these CONCACAF tournaments that pro officials are being, you know, assigned to games even though they're essentially locked out. So it will be interesting to see. I definitely do think because of everything going on, there could be kind of a similar situation where not, you know, either they're getting it or you're going to get maybe subpar officials just based on all these situations. But, you know, it always is just interesting seeing, you know, especially in MLS, these officials just all of a sudden jumping in the game action and there's so many mistakes happening and it's absolutely insane. So you would hope that doesn't happen. Maybe, you know, they're able to make a deal because this is outside MLS, so they're able to, you know, get those officials. But I guess considering everything going on, I wouldn't exactly be surprised if there's some subpar officiating across the board.
that's gonna fare well. So just getting back into a little bit of what you do, Sam, how is it any different the way you cover outside of, like, you know, the press box and that kind of stuff, but is it any different how you cover an MLS game or an NFL game versus how you would cover a lower league like USL2 game or even a USL championship game?
Yeah, I think even for like a USL championship game, I would have the same approach, but pretty much when it comes to MLS, you can kind of assume that the fan base is, one, able to watch the game, and two, you know, we'll probably watch the game live. So a lot of what I do, like, I have three thoughts that come out. It's literally at the final whistle. It's probably one of the first things you're going to see. So pretty much when it comes to Vermont, you know, especially on away games, you know, that's not guaranteed that you're going to get a stream or going to be able to watch it. So I try and do more of like a generic recap, you know, are your typical recap compared to just three thoughts on the game, because, you know, MLS fans will be able to watch it live. Some Vermont fans, especially for away games, will not be able to. So I would say there's that. And obviously with MLS, there's kind of a time crunch. I literally get it out at the final whistle. But with the Green, based on just their access and just also to, know, being one of the outlets who are able to cover them, obviously for Britain, it's pretty much Vermont Green itself. And the club, obviously the Free Press, Burlington Free Press, you know, will come down there at times. But it's pretty much us for Written Press. So I'm allowed a little bit more time, kind of able to kind of, you know, go in a bit more detail and obviously get quotes from Adam or a player compared to, you know, with the Revs, I'm getting something up. It's just kind of my analysis. And then after the game, you know, like last night, I fell asleep on my couch writing because I was exhausted. But after that, after I get those initial three thoughts, I'll, you know, have stories on, you know, different players, our culture and different players. But for the Green, I pretty much try and make it one comprehensive piece. And then if I'm able to get something out of it, you know, whether it be talking about a player's journey to Vermont and stuff like that, I'll go into it. But I try and give like a more detailed recap because, you know, for some people, they won't be able to watch the game.
In terms of your analysis, what's the better match day tradition? The Vermont Green's Maple Man of the Match or the Revolution's Tea Crate?
Don't get me started on the tea crate. I mean, that it was a good idea, good premise, terribly executed. Scott Caldwell thrown into the mud trying to like make this look cool. My colleague wrote something up on it. We gotta add like water. Maybe some of our paid subscribers are saying maybe we kind of like drop it from the lighthouse. Not safe at all, but would be really cool. But yes, the maple syrup is absolutely.
No, sorry, go ahead.
Nah, you're good, you're good. Maple syrup, great tradition, makes for great photos. Dolan was able to nail those. Obviously, Spencer had amazing shots of that. I really like that. And then there's also something that sticks out between Revs fans. Revs fans, very, very concerned with players walking over to them. Respectfully, they're an MLS club. Don't exactly know if they're owed you anything. Very concerned about this. And then you have this different mindset where you guys are just obviously connected with the club and stuff like that. And obviously, you know, a little bit smaller, but like I'd never see you guys complaining, which is very nice to see. And you just have this relationship with the players in the club that is amazing. So obviously they come over to you, but like just the difference in fan base and obviously I would say match day experience, Vermont Green by far the best. And I would say probably by far the best in all of New England. I will give some shout outs to the Brass Bonanza out in Hartford because they were absolutely amazing when they came to the US Open Cup match. Again, great, great atmosphere. Don't know why you'd pull that tournament. They created some, you know, great signs and just overall atmosphere there. But Vermont Green by far, you know, I did an article kind of like breaking it down. It was absolutely sick just to kind of like go into detail about that. And, you know, as many matches as I can, it's, I would say probably the premier soccer experience if you're looking for it in all of New England.
Let's hope it stays that way because you know the New England soccer scene is growing. We've had talk about a team in Portland. We have Rhode Island SC, and you see a lot of the great things that they're doing there. But we have one of our own is there now as a second or third goalie. I really think that it's important that we have soccer on all levels in this area because we're always considered short season for any of the pro or semi-pro sports, whether it's baseball, whether it's soccer, and even some of the amateur hockey stuff that happens in the southern areas of the state. I think that it's just important that we as fans keep everything real, you know, because we have to understand that this may or may not be here forever. We most certainly will not be the darlings of the league forever. Eventually, as we keep winning, and if we do, we're going to be hated. But I can say that, like, going to experience an away day at like Western Mass at Lusitano Stadium, like their fan base is amazing. They had a great time We had a great time there. We had a contingency of probably about 30 or 40 people there. And it was a great away day. The away end was rocking. And even though we didn't come away with the win, again, I can point to that kind of, like you were saying, that connection we have with the team and the club. The team came over and clapped us at the end of the game, even though that it was a very rough game. It was poorly officiated, very, very physical. The guys were terribly, terribly tired at the end of it. They came over and clapped us up, and then they stuck around to talk with us. And that's a big thing for us. And I know it is for a lot of these players who are college kids who otherwise wouldn't get to experience this kind of thing. So that's what we can do as fans, as the Green Mountain Faithful, as the Green Mountain Bohois, that we can continue to help grow the sport and grow the interest in the sport. So, from our end, I think that's like the biggest part of it from our end.
And, you know, Sam, I wanted to, sorry, Mike.
No, go ahead.
I had kind of wanted to ask you something because, you know, Mike had mentioned the fact that, you know, there is now, you know, it used to be the Revs were literally the only game in town. It was you go to Foxborough, you go to Montreal, you go to New York. That was it. That was the only places where you could watch anything locally. You know, we as soccer fans now have all of these great options. We've got Portland, Maine that's coming in, you know, and something that has kind of struck me is not necessarily like snobbery, but like MLS fans of like just the Revs, they only watch the Revs. They're not going to go and be like, oh, I can support the Revs, but if I'm local, like I'll go down and to Providence and watch the Rhode Island championship team or Hartford, or, you know, go up to Portland. You know, I feel like there can be such, you know, like there's so much stuff that we can go and be fans of, and you can support your MLS team and still support your USL championship or League One or League Two team. You know, do you see that same kind of like tribalism, or is it like, hey, let's all just like get together and party and enjoy all this stuff that we have on offer?
Yeah, I think you put it perfectly when it comes to kind of the tribalism of sports fan bases, and especially it can kind of be like, oh, we've been here first, we've been here longer. But I would say, especially, I mean, I honestly hate Twitter. I think it sucks. For me, it's a necessarily evil of kind of operating in sports. But, you know, you definitely see it there a lot, especially it's weird. You can have it, you know, with a Revs fan, per se, and, you know, looking at leagues like, you know, USL Championship and kind of the whole USL, I would say. But even, you know, this offseason, there was some, you know, kind of snobbery, I guess you could say, coming. I will say it was quite literally one Rhode Island FC fan being a little too much to Revs fans. Mm-hmm. But it can go both ways as well, too. But I think, you know, having a mindset of, all right, you know, Revs are in MLS, I'm going to cheer for them. But, you know, I'm someone who lives in Vermont. Why would I not support Vermont Green FC? I think that's the mindset you should have. Or if you're in Connecticut and want to support Hartford Athletic as well as supporting, you know, the Revs, are, you know, because Connecticut's weird, you go to one of the New York teams. I think that should be the mindset. You know, it's like, you know, as they say, rising tides lifts all boats. And as Mike was saying, you know, there's a real growth of soccer in New England. You have all these clubs you're able to support, obviously the 2026 World Cup and kind of Copa America too as well. It's going to be very important, hopefully, continue to grow the game. And I'd love to see just kind of overall support of your local club, per se, even if that is the Revolution, continue to grow, and then also be able to support, you know, other clubs, you know, out in New Hampshire, go to a Seacoast game. You know, if you're in Western Mass. First off, I now know a Seacoast coach. I don't know if he coaches the actual USL League Two team. Good guy. Also, Seth McCumber used to work for Seacoast. So I have to give him slight credit, but also to always will love the green, up the green all day over any club. But support your local club. Do that. And like, I would recommend Vermont Green, even if you are like me in Massachusetts. But
the check's in the mail.
Yeah. Oh, I appreciate it. Yeah. Pat and Ferna, I'll give you my address. But nah, I just think that hopefully people are able to have that mindset. Like Tyson mentioned, you should be able to support an MLS side, but also support the team that's in your backyard. And I mean, to be able to have that relationship with the players, like for me, one of the, you know, I've been lucky enough. I've been able to cover games, you know, for MLS, US men's national team, all this stuff. But like a moment that sticks out to me is being able to take a video of Nacho scoring a goal and my very whiteness just yelling vamos out of nowhere. It was like a guttural thing that came out of me. And it just kind of goes to like this connection that the game's able to bring. I know Spencer mentioned it in the last episode, but it's so weird how, or so amazing how soccer is able to kind of connect people. Like for instance, I probably would never have gone to Vermont if it wasn't for the Green. And now my sister goes there. She goes to UVM. I will be dragging her to this US Open Cup game. And like, I just have this special connection to the city of Vermont, or to the state of Vermont, specifically the city of Burlington, that like I never would have had. So that's what I try and, you know, portray in my writing, you know, being able to tell people stories and just how you're able to connect one another. But hopefully, you know, the tribalism kind of fade away and we can have people support their local side as well as their pro side.
I for one am going to be supporting Rhode Island FC for sure. A friend of mine has season tickets, so I'll be going down to see a few of those games. Especially when they build that new stadium. Looks like it's going to be beautiful.
Yeah.
At least the renderings do, you know.
So used to the renderings. Oh yeah.
Unlike that ugly ass cube that NYCFC wants to build. So yeah, I guess we're getting toward final thoughts here. So I'm going to spin the wheel here and looks like it's coming up. Danny, final thoughts.
Final thoughts. Well, you know, on the whole, I would say that like everybody on this call, I'm just incredibly excited to watch the Green Mountain Boys get back on the field. Really excited about the impact. I'm going to get much time to touch on this, but really excited on the impact that this team has had on the youth soccer culture in Burlington as a youth coach myself, seeing my guys who used to just say, oh, I like Holland, I like Mbappe. You know, they're saying, wow, Nate Jones, what's he doing? Can you teach me how to play like Nate Jones? Like, that's incredible. And I think that speaks a lot to not only, you know, Vermont Green as a team, but also the culture that's been created by the organizers, by the players around the sport. That is something that's only going to grow in the US Open Cup. So incredibly excited. I'm going to start doing some tactical analysis, see if I can, you know, hit up Pfeiffer, see if he needs any help. But other than that, just incredibly, incredibly excited going forward.
All right. I got Willie, or I have Willie. Yeah, Tyson up next. No Willie tonight. Will has work to do at home, so he's a high power. He's a high powered attorney who wears suits to Vermont Green games. So, oh yeah, yeah. There's a
high power.
I'll send you some pictures, Sam.
Oh, I sounds like a great article idea.
but no, you know, support your local teams in the Open Cup, whether that's Western Mass, you know. We, unlike Seaport, we don't hate them. They're great. They, you know, they beat an MLS team in the past in the Open Cup. Like, they're great. Support Western Mass. Support the Green. Come to the Green game if you can. Let's sell this place out. If you can't come, watch it on whatever kind of broadcast that we can. You know, we, as fans of the Open Cup and as fans of local soccer, we need to show MLS that the Open Cup matters and that it's important. And if the more eyes that we can draw, then, you know, more chance that we're going to get another one next year.
There you go.
Exactly. And Sam, I'm going to go to you next. I want you to plug your plug whatever you need to plug, do your thing, and give us your final thoughts. What do you think is going to happen in this match? And
yeah,
what do you think is going to happen going forward for Vermont Green this year?
I'm really excited to see, you know, where things go. I'll kind of start there. I think, you know, there's still some questions to be answered, and I think there's still kind of be some changes or some new looks that we see, and I'm just really excited to see it continue to grow. I mean, I remember last year launch of the Golasso Network, and you know, kind of keeping a track of all their stuff, seeing the Vermont Green jersey get on there, seeing this photo that Spencer took on there, that was absolutely amazing. So hopefully continue to see that grow, and you know, I'm really hoping that Vermont can you know, top their division and kind of, you know, get back into the playoffs. Definitely excited to see what Zenge can do in a second season. Hopefully excited to see what Musa can do, and then also too, having a guy like Nathan Schnurr back, having, you know, a Costa Rican international big. So I'm hoping that we can get a cup set. Maybe that's my green colored eyes that are not actually green, you know, looking for that. But I think if any club is capable of doing it, it's Vermont Green. So definitely, I will be as rooting for them as professionally as I can, to win that game. But yeah, just make sure to check out all the stuff on the Blazing Musket. Obviously covering Vermont Green, covering as much soccer as humanly possible, but you will have to put up with a decent amount of our Revs coverage. But yeah, like us on there, like us on Instagram, YouTube, all that fun stuff. But guys, I just really appreciate you having me on, and up the green, baby.
And absolutely, I'm going to give you a little plug too, because there are a couple of different tiers of Blazing Musket. It is Revolution Recap still part of you guys, or is that
Yep, Revolution
just left
Recap's
over from the
partnered
Bad
with us.
Musket?
Yeah, might be adding a nice Rhode Island FC podcast. Just waiting. We're in negotiations, and by negotiations, I mean just waiting to see how things work out.
Excellent.
But adding stuff like that, and you know, we're doing some more video stuff and all that fun stuff. But yeah, you know, like I said, we're trying to cover New England soccer as a whole, not just the
Excellent.
Revolution.
Excellent. So there is a paid tier, and there is a free tier. So with the free tier, you get a newsletter and all that stuff, and you get all this stuff from Sam and his crew. So just go onto their site and just sign up for the newsletter if you want to. If not, if you want to do the paid tier, go ahead and do that too. I'm sure they appreciate all of the support that you can give them. Outside of that, my final thoughts kind of are these. This is the beginning of a big season for Vermont Green. And in order to build off of the successes of the first two seasons, we're going to need everybody in the community out there. We just sold out 1,300 tickets for the season tickets this year, earlier than we did last year. We have new player announcements every single day coming on social media. And you'll find those new players on the Green Mountain Boys socials, as well as United and Green socials. We're gonna have a podcast coming out hopefully next week. Another one with Dan and myself talking tactics, a couple of the new players that have been announced. And just moving forward, we're gonna have the guys from Lex SC on too as well. So that'll be next Wednesday. Tyson won't be with us, but just in the future, one more plug for the Green Mountain Boys. We're having a meetup, a new member meetup, as well as a meetup with some of our old friends on Saturday at Zero Gravity Brewing, introducing ourselves to some new members there, and that's 3 p.m. at Zero Gravity Brewing. So until then, I want everybody to be out there, tread lightly, and be safe, and up the green.
Up the green.
Go green, baby. Divine.
embracing wreath of repose and gulfs of the sea.